There's no way in this noisy, busy world that we can be quiet without arranging for that. It's not something that's going to happen automatically.
Elizabeth Elliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about something which is in very short supply these days, quietness. The book of Ecclesiastes says this, better is a handful with quietness than two handfuls with labor. A different translation says, better one hand full and peace of mind than both fists full and toil that is chasing the wind. Do you ever feel as though you're chasing the wind? Do you have each day of your life as much as one handful of quietness? If you don't, something is wrong. Something really needs to give. We live in a very noisy world. My husband and I live in a very, very quiet place compared to most people, I suppose, in this day and age. But every now and then we become acutely conscious of noise because we have so little of it. Sometimes there will be a workman on a house nearby with his ghetto blaster set at top decibel so that he can hear it on any of the four sides of the house where he may be working. Every now and then, we see fishermen down on the rocks, fishermen who don't want quietness. They don't want to listen just to the sound of the gulls and the waves. They want what's called music, and so they bring their radios and play them at top volume. The sunbathers do the same thing. Then, occasionally, there are chainsaws, helicopters, motorboats. You know what I mean. It's a very busy world, a very noisy world. There's busyness of all kinds, and this compulsion, almost obsession, to do something. What is there to do around here? I hear college students say, there's nothing to do around Gordon College. Gordon College is 30 miles from the nearest big city, and they say there's nothing to do. If you were to suggest that there's a wonderful library there and there's all sorts of riches to be found between the covers of those books, they would look at you as if you came from another planet. Housewives, do you have quietness? Do you have a chance to sit down and think? I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody. Remember that the Lord knows all about your obligations. He knows about the interruptions. He knows about the physical situation in which you live. Maybe it is absolutely impossible for you to get away to a place by yourself where you can be quiet for as much as 10 minutes a day. Perhaps God wants to teach you to learn to just be quiet in your spirit, even while you're peeling onions, doing the laundry, typing, sitting in a classroom in front of a class of students who are working on something at their desks. Just a few minutes in which you lift your heart and your mind up to God and go into a quiet place, an invisible place with Him, they will be to your great profit spiritually. We've been reading some selections from the biography of Jim Elliot called Shadow of the Almighty. When Jim graduated from college, he was asked the question that everybody is asked as they approach graduation, and then as graduation takes place, what are you going to do? Where are you going next? And Jim had no answer that would satisfy his friends. It was an answer that didn't satisfy even some of his more spiritual friends, because he was going home, back to spend a year with his parents, to be under the tutelage of his father, a very godly man, a Bible teacher and preacher. Then there was the possibility that his brother Bob was going to be building a house for himself and his wife, and Jim thought, well, perhaps when I go home, I'll be able to spend some time helping him with that project. He wrote, "I feel sure that 3 months building would prepare me more for the mission field than another 3 months in the books. Most pressing is a sense of responsibility to the home, which has made me all I am and paid all the bills without a question. God knows best. He will not reveal his will by fires nor earthquakes, but by that quiet dwelling in his presence, which sons soon learn to interpret in their lives. Strange that we should be so slow to tame. Brute flesh is rebellion incarnate within, and it takes some seasons of hammering and healing both to bring it into subjection." He went back home. He stayed there painting the house, fixing the car, running the vacuum cleaner for his mother, washing dishes, painting the meeting hall, learning to preach on street corners, visiting in prisons, sitting under his father's Bible teaching, sometimes hours at a time in the little breakfast nook in the kitchen. He said, "I am being given the test of free time." How many of us can pass the test of free time? It's what a man does when he thinks nobody's looking that reveals his true character. True religion, as someone has said, is revealed in what you do with your spare time. Jim said, "There are many burdens to be lifted as I choose the path of sacrifice here at home." It wasn't a great sacrifice. Jim didn't mean to dramatize it. But there aren't very many 21-year-olds who think about their obligations to the home that has made them what they are and would dream of giving the following year to going home and just helping Mom with the vacuuming, helping Dad paint the house or fix the car. There's an old hymn by John Keble. "The trivial round, the common task will furnish all we ought to ask, room to deny ourselves, a road to bring us daily nearer God." Jim was learning to make even the vacuuming of the living room an offering to the Lord, his master. In between times, he was filling his mind with Christian biographies. He was greatly moved and challenged by the biography of David Brainerd, another young man who died at a very early age. He was a missionary to the Indians of New Jersey, and I think he died at the age of about 28, engaged but never having been married. He was reading Hudson Taylor, John G. Peyton of the South Seas, Jonathan Goforth of China. And he wrote about the value of his notations on these books. October 27th, his diary entry says this: "Enjoyed much sweetness," as he puts it, "in the reading of the last months of Brainerd's life. How consonant are his thoughts to my own regarding the true and false religion of this late day. Saw in reading him the value of these notations, and was much encouraged to think of a life of godliness in the light of an early death." Interesting that back in 1950, Jim was thinking about an early death. Then 2 days later, October 29th, he says, "On reading a letter to Bert from Wilfred Tidmarsh, I responded to a simple urge to offer myself for the work there in Ecuador. This morning it struck me as quite presumptuous action, and I covenanted with the Lord quietly that I would not post the letter unless I had some definite word from himself. It seems the situation he is in demands that he abandon the Indian work among the Quechuas because of his wife's health." So he was beginning to narrow down his call, not just to Latin America, but now to Ecuador. And so he felt this simple urge to offer himself for the work. But that call came out of silence. He was able to hear the still small voice because he had arranged to be quiet. There's no way in this noisy, busy world that we can be quiet without arranging for that. It's not something that's going to happen automatically. You must arrange to withdraw and to be quiet. But my friends won't understand. My family won't understand, you say. Well, if you keep an engagement book, why not just put it in the book? Set aside a couple of hours. Set aside an evening. And if you receive an invitation for that evening, you can honestly say, "Sorry, that evening is booked." That's honest. You don't need to explain yourself, to defend yourself, or make excuses. Put it on your calendar. Jim was criticized, predictably, for having chosen this way of life. With all his gifts, did it make sense? Sometimes he was angry at the things people said. Sometimes he strongly felt that he needed to rise up and retaliate by justifying himself, telling them of his application for 3 jobs, of his prospect of going perhaps to British Guiana for a summer's work, of Bible studies, reading, work, keeping up the place. But he said, "The word of the Lord Jesus came to me, 'Ye are they which justify yourselves before men.'" Not wanting to be found such, I knelt to pray and read the noon psalm for today. It was number 17, verse 2, smote me. "Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Thou hast tried me. My steps have held fast to thy paths. Deliver my soul from men who are thy hand, from men of this world whose portion is in this life. They are satisfied with children, but I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy form. So, Lord, I'm in thy hand, and say now in faith that thou hast led, searched, exercised, and tried me. If there lacks now that which I should be doing and am not, hide it not from thy servant, who would follow thee." Quietness is needed if we're going to learn to hear the still small voice of God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.